Chapter 31. The second wormhole had a different pattern, and we got there so far ahead of time that Skippy and Agatha got the jump coils aligned perfectly. We had four opportunities to attack the target ships. Then the next five emergence points were too far away. Then there were five more chances before we had to give up and move on. It was out of our control. All we could do was prepare the ground and wait and hope for our prey to present themselves. That waiting had my stomach in knots, and it was not easy on the crew either. "Something's coming through," Skippy announced, his voice drained of emotion. In the command chair, where my butt had fallen asleep, I stifled a yawn and kept quiet, as there was nothing for me to do. Crap, this was probably another Theranan ship, or more likely Bosphorok, because we were in their territory. If it were just a single Bosphorok ship, I might ask Skippy to destroy it just for practice, and mostly because I was bored and frustrated and felt like killing something that day. "Contact!" Skippy shouted, his excitement back. "This is the real deal, Joe. Maxalt's ship just came through." "Configuration matches?" I asked anxiously. We had to make damn certain that we attacked the correct two ships. The Maxalts had a lot of them flying around. "Configuration is a match. I can't confirm that is one of our targets until I see the second ship," he replied in a whisper. Damn. I understood why he was whispering, even in cold, silent, deep space where no one could hear us. That Maxalt ship, that powerful ship, was right there in front of us. In this case, right there meant 400,000 miles, but in space combat, that was practically knife-fighting distance. My insides turned to water from sudden fear. Fear and anxiety, because we still had to wait. Damn it! The first ship got its shields and sensors back online after the disruption of passing through the wormhole, and it scanned the area with passive sensors. Those sensors did not detect our tightly wrapped stealth field that Skippy was using 7% of his processing capacity to control, and the Maxalts did not bother with engaging their own stealth capability or conducting an active scan or even a thorough passive scan. Why should they? The Maxalts were the apex species of the galaxy. Technically, one of two apex species, but the Rindaloo were so old and lazy and inactive that the playing field was mostly open to the Maxalts, as long as they didn't interfere too much with the spiders. Plus, the Maxalts were in their client's territory, and their mission had the sanction of the Rindaloo. The defensive shields of the cruiser were active, making the ship invulnerable to nearly any threat from us. There was no reason for the crew or AI of that ship to be fearful, and their supreme arrogance was wrapped securely around them like a comforting blanket. A blanket that I hoped to wrap around their hateful necks and strangle them with. "Second ship coming through," Skippy stated with a catch in his voice. "This could be the culmination of our mission one way or another, or it could force us to wait again. Personally, I do not think I could take any more tension. I already felt like Ralphin from the Flock of Butterflies doing a dance in my stomach." "Match. Positive match. These are the target ships." "Is there," I licked my dry lips, "any sign of a third ship?" If the two target ships had an escort, all our plans were for nothing. We could only tackle two warships, and Skippy gave us only an unenthusiastic schmaybe about our chances to even damage two ships. If there were more than two ships, we might as well go back to Earth and prepare for the end. "Negative," Skippy's voice shuddered with his own relief. "The two ships are not signaling a following ship. Joe, I have bad news. The position of the second ship is marginal for the attack." What to do? Wait until we caught the ships again at a future wormhole and hope they just happen to be positioned more optimally? If we caught them again? No. Screw it. We can't risk losing those ships. Marginal is still within your envelope? Barely, Joe, and it is drifting to the edge right now. "We go now," I issued with what might be the last command of my brief career. "Skippy, go." To initiate our plan, we had to do something so crazy, so stupidly lunatic, that only the merry band of pirates would consider such a reckless action. The Flying Dutchman dropped stealth and broadcast a demand for the Maxalt's warships to surrender. As our demand blasted across the space between ships, we accelerated hard toward the target ships, in the process nearly burning out our normal space propulsion system. We could only keep up that level of acceleration for 3 seconds, after which the drive had to be shut down. 3 seconds was more than we needed, or we were dead anyway. Our plan counted on the Maxalts recognizing the Flying Dutchman as the mystery ship that had led them and the Theranon on a merry chase across the stars before jumping through and breaking an Elder wormhole. Though the aft end of the Dutchman was now a Frankenstein collection of bolted-together components from the Roach Motel's junkyard, our ship was distinctive, and no way could the Maxalts miss seeing that we were the ship their government very much wanted to capture. Our lives and potential for mission success depended entirely on the sophisticated AIs in control of the target ships. If they were slow or confused and hesitated, or if they were aggressive and eager for glory by capturing us, we were dead, and I needed to self-destruct the ship. We were counting on the two AIs to act like Skippy expected rational intelligences to act. Their ships were on a vital mission. They had suddenly and unexpectedly encountered a threat, and most importantly, the nature and capability of that threat was unknown. Unknown, but certainly powerful, because all they knew about us was that we had somehow manipulated and broken an Elder wormhole, something the Maxalts could only dream about. Though they knew little about us, what they did know was that we had capabilities far beyond their technology, so messing with us without backup and more data was a very bad idea. To sell that notion, we demanded their surrender and burned hard straight toward them. Skippy assumed a rational AI would first seek to preserve its ship, its crew, and itself by performing an emergency jump away just far enough to study our ship and assess the situation. A primary rule of space combat is if you are facing an unknown threat, jump the hell out of there. You can always jump back in later. We had prepared the battleground. We did what we could to sell the notion of our mystery ship being so powerful that we demanded two senior species cruisers surrender, and everything else was beyond our control. The AIs of the two target ships fully assessed the situation a microsecond after the photons of our surrender signal reached them, and they acted. They jumped away. Or, those some bitches tried to. The jump drive coils of the target ships, so much more capable and advanced compared to the mismatched collection of coils we picked up from the junkyard, still used the same basic jump technology in the same way. Their drives twisted space-time and reality to open the kernel of an event horizon at the far end, and the event horizons expanded and began to pull the ships through. Except there was a problem the Maxalts had not anticipated and could not control or detect. When we were in the Roach Motel, Skippy had warned me that jump wormholes opening too close together could overlap and interfere with each other, causing truly disastrous consequences. To Skippy, that was a good safety tip, and he expected my monkey brain to say avoid ever doing that. Instead, my monkey brain said hold my beer. When I said we had prepared the battleground, I meant Skippy had sown the area with micro-wormholes. He could only create, control, and maintain a limited number of those magical tears in space-time. His initial guess was that he could work with about 90 of them. Testing revealed he was limited to 78. Any more, and his control began to fail, and the micro-wormholes became unstable, emit detectable gamma radiation, and collapsed. Because he needed some micro-wormholes to provide instantaneous sensor data between the battle space and the Dutchman, he could only devote 54 of them to the attack. With the battle space being so large, we needed the enemy ships to be in a relatively small area so at least one of those paltry 54 wormholes would overlap with the jump wormholes of each ship. The math was simple and unfavorable to us. We could devote only 27 of the micro wormholes to each ship, and those ships were moving through a vast area of space. By marginal, he meant the second ship was almost too far from a micro wormhole. That is why I told him to go immediately. The Maxalt's ship AIs, being rational and self-aware enough to be scared shitless about suddenly encountering a mystery ship that dared demand they surrender, engaged the jump drives they maintained on a head trigger at all times. Coils energized fully, space-time twisted in the usual weird yet predictable fashion, and then disaster struck. Skippy expanded the wormholes closest to the two ships, overlapping their wildly resonating event horizons with those of the Maxalt ships in an event that lasted less than 3 picoseconds. In the space occupied by the first ship, singularities merged and clashed. Energies that were never supposed to enter our local space-time burst forth into a universe that had physical laws incompatible with their place of origin, and the ship ceased to exist. Violently. Like, violently. There was not an explosion like fireworks or a nuke. The effects were mostly not visible and were highly localized, and there was not even much electromagnetic radiation because most of the energy got sucked into higher dimensions. The energy of the violence was in the form of a space-time ripple expanding outward at the local speed of light. When I say highly localized, I meant the effect was restricted to about 2 million miles, a mere dot compared to the Milky Way galaxy. Unfortunately, there were three things inside that 2 million-mile bubble: an open Elder wormhole, the second Max Ulk's cruiser, and the Flying Dutchman. The Elder wormhole, constructed by beings of unimaginable foresight and intelligence, warped itself to deflect and absorb the space-time ripple, shutting down its event horizon early when the local network determined there was an unacceptably high potential for damage. The wormhole remained shut down only briefly, then emerged at the next point along its ancient route as if nothing had happened, impassively unconcerned about events in the lower dimensions of reality. The second Max Ulk ship, having timed its jump slightly behind its sister ship, survived, because its jump wormhole had not formed enough to overlap Skippy's micro-wormhole sabotage by the time disaster struck the second ship in the form of the space-time ripple. Its jump wormhole collapsed, reactors were knocked offline, the ship suffered severe damage, and all weapons and defensive systems were inoperable. It was thrown across space. No, the underlying space expanded along with the ship, and it was catapulted across the roiling vacuum. But it survived. Damn it. And the Flying Dutchman? We were farther from the epicenter, so that 99.894% of the ripple's energy had dissipated by the time it reached us. The effect still caused our main reactor to shut down automatically, venting its plasma into space. Our jump drive coils became completely misaligned. Our already stressed normal space propulsion was nearly torn from its mounts, and all but three of the power conduits connected to it were ripped away. We were also swept up in the space-time expansion, riding the ripple with the Max Ulk ship like two pieces of debris caught in a tsunami. The Dutchman tumbled out of control, sounds of alarms and shrieking composites bombarding my ears. When we stopped, my mind was reeling, from my head being thrown around and from the atoms of my brain cells having been through a space-time ripple that had them jingling like bells. Blinking did not help. My eyes would not focus, and my rattled brain was not capable of correctly processing an image. What? Oh. I swallowed to keep myself from puking.
Sit. Sit, rep.
The main display was flickering, stabilizing. My eyes could not read the data.
Skippy, what is the ship's status?
Forget that, Joe!
Skippy's voice had a seldom-heard high-pitched squeak of panic.
The second enemy ship survived! It is out of control and it is headed straight for us! We can't get out of the way in time! Impact in 46 seconds!
Shit!
I was in a panic of my own, looking from one armrest of the command chair to the other.
Where was that damned button?
Did the Dutchman have such a button, or had I imagined it?
Skippy, sound collision alert. Crew, prepare for impact.
Hey, dum-dum.
My stupidity forced the beer can to drop his panic for the usual arrogant disdain, so I guess that was good. The relative speed of the two ships is 178,000 kilometers per hour. The crew will never feel the impact before it, you know, turns you monkeys briefly into plasma.
Crap, he was right.
In Star Wars, spaceships collide slowly enough that you can see them crumple into each other and pieces break off to go spinning across the screen in dramatic fashion. In real space combat, things hit each other faster than the eye can see. Reality would suck for the purpose of a movie, because the action would happen in the blink of an eye and the audience would be like, WTF just happened? In real space combat, some of the dangerous things flying around are long, thin bolts of high-energy photons, or charged particles that move at the speed of light, so poor primitive monkey brains would have no time to react.
Is there anything we can do?
Asking that was more like a prayer to the Almighty than an actual question to Skippy.
Nope, not that I know of. The main drive is offline, most thruster control units are still rebooting, and I'm not optimistic about getting them.
His tendency to wander off the subject was highly irritating, especially right then.
Do you have any good news for me?
Well,
Hey!
He was suddenly cheery.
The collision will clear the monkey smell out of what is left of the— Are you even trying to be helpful?
No, why? I told you there is nothing I can do, and I am, I am overcome with grief at your impending and inevitable death.
Yeah, that's it. Grief is making me amuse myself at your expense.
Asshole.
I gritted my teeth. Arguing with him wouldn't accomplish anything.
Can we jump?
Jump? He screeched. Attempting a jump right now would kill you more surely than...
Not a full jump. When we captured the Dutchman, you used your magical powers to warp space-time so the ship jumped off course and the Theranin couldn't find us. Can you use the jump drive to warp space just a little, enough for us to avoid a collision?
Well, shit. It would be great if you had these brainstorms quicker, Joe. Your timing sucks.
Okay, let me think. Shmaybe, the jump drive is totally dorked up. It won't be much use. I suggest we vent air from the starboard side docking bays to...
Don't suggest, you idiot. Do it!
The ship shuddered as he blew open the docking bay doors on one side.
Done. That helped a little.
Oh, this is gonna be close. You monkeys should close your eyes.
Skippy later explained that he had to feed his own power into the jump capacitors, and when even that was taken too long, directly into the jump coils. Forcing unregulated and out-of-tune energy into the coils blew 7 out of the 10 he planned to use, and the resulting explosion destroyed 2 other coils before he could use them. That last coil made a feeble attempt to form a jump point before it, too, was overwhelmed and cooked by the uncontrolled energies saturating that bank of coils. A feeble attempt was all Skippy needed to do what I asked, or to partly do a different thing inspired by, but much more useful than my ignorant suggestion. Whatever. All I know is without me, the beer can would have done exactly nothing useful until the Maxalt ship smacked into us. Once again, the score was Monkey Brains 1, Beer Can 0. The ship didn't jump through space-time. It kinda sagged across it. A jump creates a rift in space-time from one place to another, where the distance between 2 distant points is briefly 0. Not exactly 0, but that kind of physics makes my head hurt, so let's pretend the jump wormhole is 0 length. What Skippy's attempted non-jump did was more like create a long dent in space-time as the ship got dragged sideways, scraping across the underlying and invisible quantum fabric of the universe. If I ever get an ominous letter from the universe's insurance company demanding reimbursement for damages, that would not surprise me. And if that happens, all I can say is get in line, asshole. A lot of people, and lizards, and other entities are pissed at me. Good luck collecting on that bill. All the efforts of Skippy the Magnificent, plus the sacrifice of 10 jump coils, shifted the Dutchman only 16,000 kilometers, which was the ship's length in local space-time multiplied by some logarithmic thing Skippy tried to explain to me. It also weirdly skewed the ship's kinetic energy, so that after the non-jump that made my stomach do sickening flips, we were moving in almost the opposite direction and 3,000 kilometers per hour slower. That result surprised Skippy and forced him to reconsider the multidimensional physics of jumping.
It worked. We're clear. We...
Oops. Now we might collide anyway because our momentum is carrying us the wrong way.
Shit.
No, we're good. Had to double-check my math there. Coming out of that weird jump effect seriously messed with the navigation system. To calm myself, and to demonstrate my cool command of the situation, I tried to steeple my fingers together like one of the Star Trek captains. I forget which one. Trouble is, my hands were shaking so hard my fingers kept missing, so I folded one hand over the other in my lap. My conclusion was simple. I suck, and I should never be in charge of a starship. Or a rowboat. Thank you once again, Skippy. We are not going to collide? Wait for it.
Wait for it?
Yep. That ship just slid past us. We cleared it by a comfortable 6,000 kilometers. Piece of cake. Although, kind of razor-thin in terms of space combat.
Excellent. We're good, then?
Yes. Unless, you know, you count the fact that ship is rapidly repairing itself and will likely have its weapons systems back online within 4 minutes. Maybe less.
4 minutes?
It was my turn for my voice to shriek like a little girl.
What the hell can we do in 4 minutes? Missiles?
Can we launch? We can launch, Joe, but the targeting system sensors are still resetting. Those missiles don't have any guidance to the target.
Crap.
My mind raced through a slim list of possibilities. The only offensive weapons the poor old Flying Dutchman carried were missiles and a maser cannon. I did not have any confidence in the maser for ship-to-ship combat, and against the Maxalt's warship's powerful shields, it would be like pointing a flashlight at the enemy.
Could we?
Wait. Hey, Beer Can, can't you act as the targeting system for our missiles?
Ugh, no, because, dum-dum, I am still prohibited from using weapons. Don't you pay attention at all when I talk?
I swear, talking to you is like you are not blocked from feeding data to the missile guidance system, right?
I guess not. Damn it, I should have thought of that. Nagatha, I am transferring my sensor data to you. Interpret it and feed it into the missile targeting system for me.
Yes, dear.
Nagatha was fairly giggling with delight. She had the same restrictions as Skippy, but this was her big chance to finally participate in blowing shit up. Although Nagatha sounded like a kindly old aunt, she had a naughty streak.
Missile guidance cores are updated with targeting data. How many would you like to launch, Joseph?
Huh? It startled me to have Nagatha inquiring about use of weapons. All of them! Skippy was skeptical. All of them, Joe?
Hell yes! We won't get a better shot at that ship!
Pointing at Sims in the CIC, I got a thumbs up from her, and the display showed missiles ripple firing from our launches, including the aft launches that were facing away from the enemy. Each launcher had three missiles and a rotary canister. Three birds flew out of the launch shaft, then the canister pulled back to reload. Two of our forward launchers had a speed loader that Skippy had added when he rebuilt the ship at Newark, so those two rotary canisters had three missiles each slammed into them at once at each reload. The other launchers needed the canister to stop three times in its rotation to reload with one missile at a time. Regardless of the mechanisms used, we had all of our depleted supply of warbirds running hot within 35 seconds. When I ordered Sims to launch everything we had, that included the big ship killers that were in the forward launches, plus missiles that had no possibility of causing serious damage to a Maxalt ship, but could help overwhelm the enemy's proximity defense system. Flying toward the enemy ship were missiles with big ship killer warheads, other missiles dedicated to jamming enemy sensors, smaller missiles designed for use against surface targets or dropships, and missiles with warheads that split into dozens of decoys. The ship killers were hypervelocity birds capable of accelerating at thousands of Gs for a short time. Added to the boost all missiles got from the railguns of the launch tubes, the furious acceleration of hypervelocity weapons allowed them to streak in without wasting energy and precious time on evasive maneuvers to throw off the aim of enemy defense cannons. Coordinated by Skippy, who technically could not use weapons but was outstanding at recommending tactics for the ship's targeting system to apply, our missiles tried every tactic Skippy had up his devious little sleeve. Two ship killers slammed out of their launch tubes straight at the enemy and were still accelerating at 24,000 Gs when both of them were intercepted more than 17,000 kilometers from the target. Okay, I did not expect such a crude attack to succeed, but my hope was the enemy's sensors were as confused as ours, and hitting the Maxalts ASAP before their proximity defense system could reboot was worth a shot. Behind the first two missiles, another three ship killers lingered in a cloud of lesser birds that provided jamming, decoys, and simply a lot of targets to saturate enemy defenses. Instead of using their hyper-acceleration capability to surge ahead, our last three ship killers jinked wildly at random, staying within the cover of the other birds. Skippy had explained that most evasive flight maneuvers were not as random as the missile's designers thought, because he was usually able to detect a pattern while missiles came at us, giving our PDS cannons an advantage. When Skippy the Magnificent recommended evasive actions for our missiles, they jinked left, right, up, down, faster than slower, in a truly random fashion that had to be maddeningly frustrating to the computers of the arrogant Maxalts. The enemy PDS cannons nibbled away at our cloud of missiles. I watched with a sick feeling as icons on the display blinked out rapidly. In space combat, most things happened rapidly, so seeing a rapid decline in the number of birds we had in flight was not unexpected, and I was encouraged that all three ship killers escaped the maser cannon barrage of the enemy, while our lesser missiles moved slower to offer easy and tempting targets to the Maxalt's AI that was coordinating the defense. In only a few seconds, the trio of ship killers would reach the imaginary line where they would stop screwing around with the evasive stuff and slam forward to fulfill their destinies by ripping into the enemy hull. In the blink of an eye, all our hopes were dashed. From one second to the next, the glowing red icons of our three best missiles winked out.
"What the hell happened?"
I shouted in anguish as other icons closed with the enemy. We got two impacts, just two, and neither of those warheads penetrated anything vital. "The damned AI aboard that ship is smart," Skippy groaned with a touch of admiration. It realized we were allowing it to hit missiles we didn't care about, so it took a calculated risk. The AI directed their PDS to concentrate fire on the only three missiles that were truly moving randomly. Those missiles got bracketed too fast for me to adjust from here. They all flew into maser bolts. If it is any consolation, one of the ship killer warheads sent shrapnel into the enemy's portside sensor array when it detonated. "I am sorry, Joe." Slumping in my chair, my brain locked up as I processed the horror of our situation. Our missile magazines were empty, all our war shots expended for nothing. For nothing. Well, I tried to think of something, anything we could do. Skippy poured gasoline on the fire. Uh-oh, Joe. The Maxalks are demanding that we surrender, and they know humans are in control of the Dutchman. How did that happen? Damage to our hull has caused leakage from communications relays. I thought the leakage was minimal and that I had the electromagnetic radiation contained and scrambled, but once again it appears I have underestimated our opponent. They must have been able to decrypt enough data to determine who is aboard this ship. Again, he gave a world-weary sigh. I truly am sorry. Part of me wanted to scream at him that being sorry was bullshit because we were all going to die and my reckless plan had exposed our secret and doomed our homeworld. That was the little Joey Bishop part of me, the childish, undisciplined part that lashed out emotionally and accomplished nothing. Fortunately, the United States Army had somehow trained into me the ability to put emotions aside for the moment and focus on solving the problem. Are they telling the whole galaxy about us? No. I am jamming their transmissions. That is one bit of good news. Another potential bit of good news is that I am able to read some of their internal message traffic through leaks in their hull. Those kitties are in a full-blown panic, Joe. They have no idea how humans could have captured a Thorenan star carrier, and our destruction of the other ship demonstrates we have capabilities they can only imagine. Some of them are speculating correctly that humans are responsible for the alarming behavior of Elder Wormholes, and that thought has them scared out of their minds. I mean, actually scared out of their minds. Some of them are babbling incoherently. There is a theory flying around that humans have only been pretending to have primitive technology, that Earth is a fake, that the true human homeworld is more advanced than even the Rindaloo and... Oh, now here is a truly wacky conspiracy theory. Joe, they are afraid that humans are really a group of elders who decided not to ascend. That actually would explain some questions I have had about how human development, like... While he was repeating unhelpful theories, I was looking at the main display on the bulkhead to the right of the pilot couches. My heart skipped a beat, and I fumbled with the display controls to zoom in the image. Skippy, that ship's energy shields are down?
Yep.
Yes, why? That is why those two wimpy little missiles were able to cause damage, although of course not enough to... There was still a chance if we acted quickly enough, and if we had any luck at all. Is our Mesa Cannon available?
Yeah, sure.
He didn't bother to throw in a duh, because info about the cannon's status was also on the main display. Why? Because, jackass, we can hit them while their shields are down. Sims, target their... Whoa, Joe, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and unlike most times when I say that, I actually do not enjoy giving you this bad news. The armor plating protecting vital parts of that ship is too tough for our little Mesa cannon. All we could do is cause some of that armor plate to flake away and show the Maxalks how weak we are.
Crap! Damn it!
Wait. They don't know how weak we are? Hell, how about we tell them to surrender if they're so scared of us? Nice try, Joe, but that won't work. The Maxalks would never surrender. They will fight to the last one of them. Sims, belay that order. I admitted defeat. There was no point to burning out our Mesa Cannon exciters if we couldn't accomplish anything. We had nothing to shoot with. Huh. A thought hit me. Skippy, the Maxalks are waiting for their mazes and railguns and whatever to come online. But why haven't they launched missiles at us? Because their offensive weapon targeting sensors are in worse shape than ours, Joe. I suspect they will be launching missiles at us shortly. However, there we have a spot of good news. While their AI is clever enough to figure out which of our missiles were the major threat, I studied its actions very closely and have created a model that allows me to predict its actions with a high degree of accuracy. If... or when they launch missiles at us, I believe I can provide data to our proximity defense system that will allow us to smoke their birds out of the sky before they can cause any major damage. Wow. That astonished me. That is great news, Skippy. Nah, not really. All it means is I will have a minute or so to admire my own brilliance before, you know, that ship's railguns or more exotic weapons slice the Dutchman to pieces. You might think that in such a crisis I should focus on what is immediately important and not let my mind wander off topic. You would be wrong, because allowing my mind to wander is the key to monkey brain thinking. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. No, I knew that. What blows my mind is you created a model to mimic how an advanced Maxalk's AI thinks after watching it for like 10 seconds while it flew past us? I call bullshit on that. Joe, he He sighed. You forget, I also ransacked the mind of the AI in the Pixie factory and the AIs aboard both relay stations. So I already had a basic model of the architecture that underlies the matrix of Maxalk's AIs. All I needed to do was plug in some variables. Please, dude. This stuff is easy-peasy for my awesomeness. His line of bullshit did not convince me.
And you did that just by watching how that ship's AI managed their PDS?
Right. Joe? Trust. The awesomeness.
I would trust it more if your awesomeness had a way to get us out of—
Joseph, Nagatha interrupted. I am terribly sorry to bother you, but the enemy ship is charging weapons. As we may have only seconds to live, I would like to say that it has truly been an honor to—
Holy shit! Skippy gasped. That really pissed me off. Hey, asshole. Nagatha was talking. Screw the blah blah blah, Joe, he blurted out breathlessly. I just dreamed up a monkey brain idea. Me? How did that happen?
What is— He cut me off again.
Fire Maser Cannon! He roared,
his voice booming out of speakers all around the bridge and CIC so loud it made me cringe and my ears ring. Shaking my head and blinking, I was even more pissed at him for falsely getting our hopes up.
You just told me— Forget what I said! Fire the fucking cannon now! Now! Now!
Showing the value of a well-trained crew who have served together long enough to anticipate each other's actions, Sims did not wait for me to signal her. She flipped up the clear plastic cover over the Maser Cannon controls and jabbed her thumb down on the red button. And held her thumb there.